safe and secure from all alone. Yes, lean on Jesus, lean on Savior, lean on the everlasting hope.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Welcome His presence. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Glad to see all those that are thankful for the Lord Jesus. It's good to know that even the commercial world coming up with the holiday in the first place and what they even came up with, it doesn't really matter. But if they're going to set aside a day to thank the Lord, I think we should take full advantage of that.
Amen.
So, I know whatever a brother wants to do, that's fine, but I don't know how you don't go to church when that's the whole reason we're doing this holiday in the first place. We're here to thank the Lord.
Amen.
And He told me to go to the house of the Lord. And I don't know, for some people, I guess it's a burden to go to church. I haven't understood this. Once I received the Holy Ghost, it wasn't a burden. It was, how do I not get there? That's just where I live. I live in the presence of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm happy to be a Christian tonight. I'm happy. Hebrews chapter 11. We can continue on. Hebrews book. Remember December 12th, Brother Sampson Shetty should be here. Preaching for us will be a Thursday night, so all that can make it, I believe the Lord will bless you greatly. Hebrews chapter 11, just a few verses here, starting at verse 1. Excuse me. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Jude 3. Let me turn over to Jude real quick. Jude verse 3. Only one chapter, so it's just verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I'd just like to preach tonight out of Hebrews 11, what is faith? There's a lot of thoughts, there's a lot of opinions about that, but what is faith according to the scriptures? Let's bow our heads together. Do you have a need from God before we approach His word with an uplifted hand? I believe He'll answer you tonight. Ask abundantly that your joys might be full. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for bringing us into another opportunity to be in your presence and to hear your word. We pray, Lord, that our hearts would just be in the perfect condition right now, Lord, that all the cares of this life, all the distractions of Satan that's bombarded us here in Laodicea, Lord, that all of that would be laid aside, Lord, and that the Holy Spirit could have total preeminence in every heart and every mind and every soul in this place, that you could do the miraculous that you desire to do. We pray, Lord, as we approach your word, that you'll forgive us of all of our shortcomings, all of our sins, all of our iniquities. May it all just wash right into that blood of Christ, and may it just separate from us as far as the east is from the west. Lord, we believe you. We thank you for dying on the cross for us. We thank you for blessing us day in, day out, Lord, year in, year out. You're just always there, just showing your love over and over and over again. Lord, and we come tonight to do what little we can to show you, Lord, we appreciate it and that we love you, Lord, and we want to give thanks and praise to you. We appreciate you, Lord, and pray that you'll come and just have your way in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. What is faith? I love talking about this and with worldly people, that is, because there's such a stigma around what faith is even in the first place. And I find it baffling on how much is erased from people's doubt about the scriptures, doubt about Christianity, when you just explain what faith actually is according to the Bible. Not according to your opinion, not according to what some magazine said or what some big author had to say about faith. Faith is a substance. Amen. As we just read, the Bible declares that this is something you can know that you have. It is something that is more real than seeing me right now, than hearing my voice right now, than tasting anything you might have ate today. There's something more real than all of that, and faith is a substance of that. Faith comes from another realm before there was anything that was tangible. It comes from a realm before anything was fallen. It comes from a realm of perfection.
Amen.
Faith does. And in this dreadful day that we live in, faith has been perverted into a fiction. Faith has been turned into, oh, I have faith in this. I have faith in that. And all it means is that you like it.
Yeah.
All it means is that you favor that thing and you hope that it might come out. Because faith is completely contrary to that mention. That's just fiction. That's just a bunch of hope. That's a bunch of garbage according to the scriptures. God never commanded us to have that kind of faith. Command us to have the faith that is a substance.
Amen.
It's something that I can hold in my hand, I can hold it in my heart, and I know that I possess it.
Amen.
You can try to talk me out of it all you want to, that's fine and dandy, but you can't talk me out of right now that I'm wearing a suit. Because I can feel it on me. I have a sense of feeling that tells me it's here. And if I didn't have that, I could look at it. Isn't that right? And if I had a good enough smell, I could tell you what it smells like, and I know I'd have it on. But faith is the exact same as one of those senses that pulls from another realm, and it brings things that aren't supposed to be reality and makes them reality.
Amen.
Yes.
And this is where, when we read it right there in the Bible, it said it's the substance of things hoped for. And what the Bible means by hope is that it's out there, but you know you shall obtain it.
Amen.
It's not going to dangle out there forever. One day that will be in my hands.
Amen.
And we know the Old Testament saints, they had the resurrection in their hearts. There was something declaring it, but there was no evidence in their lives to show it. They just could look forward. It must come.
Amen.
Something in here is declaring there's a Redeemer.
Amen.
And Job, even when he hit rock bottom, he says, I know my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
And though the skin once destroys this body, faith declares something else.
Yes.
That I shall live eternally.
Yeah.
How? I don't know. You could have went through a discourse with Job and he would have said, I don't know. I don't even know what I said that day, but it's truth nonetheless.
Amen.
Because when the inspiration of God strikes me, that's not me talking anymore.
Yeah.
It's the Almighty.
Right.
It's the source of faith. Mm-hmm. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. For by it, oh, I love it, nothing else. For by faith, the elders obtained a good report.
Amen.
Proves right there that God never intended to look at you and I and our works in a fallen condition. He never intended for you and I to muster up some sort of worth to bring to God. He never cared about any of that. He always wondered, where's your faith?
Amen.
Do you have not just some faith now? Because people got faith in all kinds of things. People got faith in cars that they can turn a key in and it'll start up. People got faith in football players that they're going to score this many points. That doesn't mean anything. That's not what God's looking for. He's looking for His faith, which is Himself.
Amen.
Let's turn to there real quick, if that's all right. It's Ephesians, I believe. Might have to look for a second. Pretty sure I know what part of the page it's on. Ephesians 2, verse 8. If you're there, can you say amen for me?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God.
Amen.
The faith itself, the substance of this faith, where it even came from, was a gift from God.
Amen.
Because God knew in His mind before the foundation of the world, there's only a select group of people that can believe on my word. So when I know who they are, I'm going to give them something. I'm going to give them a substance.
Amen.
And he looked around for something worthy to be this, and he couldn't find anything else but himself.
Amen.
And he placed the gift of God within you, that predestinated seed, that seed of faith. Because remember, you come from two sources. You either come from a seed of faith or a seed of doubt.
Amen.
And that's it. There's no in between. There's no middle ground for this. You either are or you aren't. You either are born again or you're not born again. You either have the Holy Ghost or you don't.
That's right.
And you either have faith or you don't have faith. I can look at you and guess if you have faith or not. That doesn't mean a whole lot. And when somebody has faith, you don't have to talk about it. They don't have to stand up for it because faith will produce by itself.
Amen.
That's what we're trying to get at. Get rid of that idea that faith is just something where I take a good thought, you know, I might read it out of the Bible, by His stripes I'm healed. I take that and I just kind of say, well, one of these days, maybe I'll be well. Right? Isn't that how many people say they have faith?
Right.
Or I got this problem, you know, and God said He'd deliver me all of my distresses, but you know, maybe it'll work out, maybe it don't, whatever the will of the Lord is. What are you talking about? He already told you what His will is. Right. He said, I am the Lord that delivereth you of all your infirmities.
Amen.
So we already know as well is that we don't have any left over when He's done.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what my faith declares. It's not some mediocre kind of faith. It's not something that gets pushed from pillar to post. It's something that knows where it stands.
Amen.
And nothing can shake real faith. It's not hope at all. It's not fiction at all. It's not a guesswork at all. Faith knows where it stands.
Amen.
And faith has a possession.
Thank you, Lord.
Through faith, verse 3, back there, Hebrews 11, 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And what is he talking about there? He's showing that God didn't use what power he could have just used his power. He has all power. He has all strength. He has all might. He could have done all of that. But instead, he decided to do it in the method that he would require out of his own children.
Amen.
So the Bible says, through faith, he formed the worlds through the Word of God. So what did God do? Exactly what the Bible said. He spoke it. And it happened.
Amen.
He didn't have to go around and trying to convince the devil whether his word was going to pass. He just waited for the devil to look at it long enough and go, hey, there's a world. I remember when God said that 10 million years ago. There it is.
Right.
He didn't have to go around backing himself up all the time. And that's when you know if somebody's really got faith or not. Do they walk around with their chest out making sure you know that they have the faith that they say they do? And they show you all these evidences of, and they're usually things that aren't in the Word anyhow. Right. It's just some kind of whatever, some dream that they might have had, or somebody had this experience that they thought was supernatural, but it never pans out. Faith doesn't work that way. Faith says it, and it happens.
Amen.
And when you learn to dwell only in the realm of faith, that faith has zero doubt to it, you'll become successful in Christ.
That's right. Amen.
And I say that not to just blow hot air. I say it by experience. Because you can't just go haphazardly praying for everything and doing all. That's not how God does things, or else Jesus would have done it when he was on earth.
Sure.
But remember when Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda, he walked over all kinds of cripples, all kinds of sick people, because his faith was telling him, there's only one person I'm supposed to go to right now.
Right.
And he found a man sick of, what was it, like a palsy or something. He was down for 38 years. Wasn't even going to kill him. He just couldn't. He was a little uncomfortable. But there was something Jesus knew about him. He believes.
Amen.
God didn't waste time going to people that didn't believe. He went finding the people that did because he wanted to give them something.
Amen.
And God can do nothing but what you allow him to do through faith.
Amen.
And God isn't being a bully about it. He's done everything the same way.
Amen.
Everything God has accomplished was through the same way he demands out of you and I.
Right.
Through faith.
Amen.
Speak the word of God and believe it. And that's it. Even that girl that I just shared with on that paper there, I've seen kids sick before and I don't feel to pray for them. I'm not saying I don't want to. I want everybody to be well. Don't kid me now. But there's nothing in me moving me saying you need to do this. But that time there was. She's only 5 feet in front of me. And it was just something about it. I'm like, she's not supposed to be like that. When I laid hands on her, I'll be honest with you. I got a little mad about it because I wanted it now. Because I believe it that way, that Satan ain't got no room on the promise of God. He ain't got no place.
Right.
And it didn't happen right away, but something in me said, keep praying, keep believing, keep praying, keep believing. I even went to prayer that night, and it was either the night or the morning, I don't remember right now. But it just struck me like, Satan, take your hands off. Let her be well in Jesus Christ's name. And like she told me, that morning, the next morning, she was well. Faith doesn't let go of a promise of God. It doesn't just pray haphazardly and go, well, you know, if it's God's will, I guess they'll get well. Prayer by faith happens.
Amen.
Excuse me. I looked up the Greek word for faith. It comes from I don't know if I can say it, pistis, something like that in the Greek. It means a conviction of the truth of anything. So what faith really means is that you're convicted. There's something in you that's convinced this is truth. And it's not just that. It's generally included with the idea of trust and holy fervor. holy fervor. It gives you something that makes you want to fight. I'm going to leave that alone for a minute. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. On top of that, I go down a few definitions here. Declares that there is a God, that He does exist, and He's the ruler and creator of all things. And for the Christian, it's a strong and welcome conviction or belief that Jesus is the Messiah. So the faith that we're talking about, because I'm trying to get you, first I want you to see what faith is in the first place. Now I want to contend for the faith.
Right.
The faith that we have as Christians. What's the difference between that and faith that Buddhists has in Buddha, and the Islam has in Muhammad, and so on and so forth? They have faith in those people.
Sure.
And we have to fight with putting our faith in other places as well. Mm-hmm. Because you can put faith in yourself, you can put faith in your job, you can put faith in, and you'll leave the promise of God go.
That's right.
Sometimes we try to convert the world without being led of the Spirit. We think we can just do it. I'll fellowship long enough with these people and then they'll realize that they need to get saved. No, if it's the leading of the Lord, something's going to happen. Yeah. We talk about applying the token to our loved ones, and people act like that's just like a machine gun. And you just walk around like, hey, you're all getting the Holy Ghost. That's not how you apply the token. You apply the token by believing by faith that something has struck your heart and saying they must be saved.
Amen.
And you're not praying just thinking, although they'll be okay. They need to get the Holy Ghost too. But there's something in you declaring. There's evidence of a hope that they will get it.
Amen.
Do you understand the difference now? That changes the perspective. Then you don't just sit around and go, well, you know, they'll be all right. They'll be all right. No, there's something in you that wants to testify. There's something in you that wants to tell them the truth that you must receive this promise.
Amen.
It's been freely given to you.
Amen.
Because God freely gave it to me.
Yes.
And freely I've received it, freely I dish it out.
Amen.
One more definition there in the Strong's Concordance. It says the belief with the predominant idea of trust. Faith means that you have no confidence in yourself. Because all of that confidence, all of that trust has been delivered into another.
Yes.
Amen.
And I mean all of it. It must be 100%. Your success as a Christian must be 100% put into Christ.
Amen.
Why do people get healed? It isn't because I pray for them. It's because He said, if you ask me, I will give it.
Amen.
That's why we have success. How did we get the Holy Ghost? Because He said how to get it.
Right.
We obeyed that. By faith. Now we didn't just do it haphazard. We know if I do what Acts 2:38 told me to do, I will get the results. My faith in here declared with the faith that came from God.
Amen.
And it produced the product.
Hallelujah.
And that just proves whether you got faith or not. If you got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, repented of your sins, so called, and didn't receive the Holy Ghost, you're wrong.
Amen.
You don't have faith in it yet. You're a professor, not a possessor.
Amen.
Faith is always a positive substance. And that's why I'm so tired of watching the Christian church walk around droopy faces. I don't understand it. I thought we were supposed to live in a realm of faith. And faith is always positive. In the midst of death, faith is positive. In the midst of heartache, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of financial trouble, in the midst of domestic trouble, in the midst of church trouble, in the midst of all that, faith is positive.
Amen.
Faith has an anchor that says, all things are working together for good. I don't understand it. I don't need to. I don't need reasoning. I need faith. Because the reasoning will lead you astray anyways. You'll begin to try to dissect the problem and realize you're going the wrong route the whole time.
Right.
When you're trailing down too, just a rabbit trail, the devil's got you around. You're going around in circles if you could just back up for a minute and let faith take control. Faith will pinpoint it and hit it right on the dots.
Amen.
Some people's faith is a little reckless, I think, sometimes. We want to tackle sin with the shotgun with the spread about this big, don't we? Just boom! Just hit them all. Before we know it, everybody in the room thinks they're serpent seed, don't they?
Yep.
That ain't the way the Holy Spirit does it, does He? He's got a channeled in rifle right there. It hits that one spot it needs to hit.
Yep.
Oh, it'll hurt. It'll still hurt. Conviction hurts now. But it ain't like it is when a man's trying to do it.
Right.
Whew! And if you make another man your conviction outside of Christ, if you put your faith in Him, if you put your faith in me, if you put your faith in anyone besides Christ, you'll get that kind of an experience.
Right.
You might as well go ahead and get a piece of Swiss cheese and look at it, because that's what you're going to feel like in your experience. Full holes.
Uh-huh.
Where all everything you do, what little good you even see, is just not good enough. Never going to get there. And you're right. That's exactly the truth nonetheless. But I'm not putting my faith in that.
Right.
I'm putting it in Him.
Yeah, right.
When He was on the cross, I was in Him.
Amen.
When He died on the cross, I died with Him.
Amen.
When He rose from the grave, I rose with Him. When He ascended up on high and was counted worthy to come into the presence of God for all eternity, I was in Him.
Amen.
I've already been accepted. That's where I put my faith.
Right.
Leave it there.
Yes, amen.
So when these things come up, you have something to pull from. Something to draw out of heaven and bring it into a realm that is so much lower in power, lower in deliverance than that realm that we came from. Y'all believe in the predestination of God, correct?
Amen.
Every Christian was identified in Christ before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
The Bible plainly declares that there's no getting away from that. And that's where God deposited the faith.
Amen.
That you and me and now are benefiting from.
Right.
And aren't you happy that when God deposits something, it works every time?
Amen.
When God plants, you can't stop it.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Faith is always positive. And I want to read this so I've made mention of this before, that faith can take control of any situation at any time.
Yes,
even in the midst of any unbelief, faith can take the preeminence. So even as, and I'll read it here in a minute, when Brother Branham would have prayer lines, the faith of God that was dwelling in him and was manifesting took control of everything.
Amen.
Now people disbelieved and he would say, you need to stop doing that. Not for the sake of this person necessarily, but for their sake. Because they'll walk out dead.
Yeah.
And I remember even one time, I don't remember the sermon necessarily, but I remember it just struck me because I never heard it like this before, where he was trying to discern and he said to stop and said, look, you need to stop doing that. Respect God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like the third or fourth time he said, look, in the name of Jesus Christ, you do that again, I can't guarantee what's going to happen to you. And he said, you need to reverence God or you're under the judgment of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I know one sermon he just said, you're in God's hands. I'm not responsible for it anymore. I've already warned you.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And then he tried to go back because he didn't waste, you understand, he didn't waste time with unbelief. Faith had already taken control.
Amen.
But the love of God in your heart should spring out to any of those, even those that don't believe. There should be something in you hoping, don't do this to yourself.
Amen.
Moses had the same thing, didn't he? He brought the law and he says, why will you die? I've given you life. I've given you death. Why are you choosing death over and over and over again?
Amen.
And God will say the same thing in that when it's all said and done. He'll say, look, life was presented to you over and over and over again. And there's not one man who's going to stand justified in the presence of God. They will begin to realize how often God was trying to woo over them.
Mm-hmm.
Sinners go through endless blockades to get to hell.
Sure.
God has put up every roadblock to try to get everybody out of hell.
That's true.
And people just barrel right through them all the time. Brother Branham says this, and we would see Jesus 54. Now look, my own faith in God will take it away from you, but it won't stay with unless you have the same.
Uh-huh.
See, just don't come with a real reverence. Listen to this closely now. Listen how you don't come with a real reverence. Just be normal and say, God, you promised it, and I'm your child.
Amen.
Do you understand the difference? People want to reverence God like a monarch. Or like a dictator or the president of the universe. And by that, and if you're going to do that, you have no relationship with that person up there. I don't know President Obama from nobody.
Amen.
And you approach him that way, there's no communication. There's no. It's not the kind of reverence we're talking about. We're talking about the reverence, as he said there, that's your father. And yeah, you better reverence your father. If you don't, even if you don't do that in the naturally, the Bible, that was the first commandment given with promise.
Right.
Yeah.
How much more your heavenly Father? How much more should we respect Him when we approach Him? But it's not in the same manner. It's not in the same kind of fear. It's approached by faith.
Amen.
Which are two completely opposite directions. And the world will tell you it's the same thing.
Yeah.
No, we approach God as the children of God. That is my Father, and I am given perfect access to go up to Him.
Amen.
But I still respect Him. I'm not here to twist God's arm around. He can twist my arm all he wants to. He knows better anyhow, does he?
Yeah. Amen.
Have you learned to trust Him as we sang that earlier? Have you learned to just stop trusting and putting your faith in yourself and your intellect and your ability to study and your ability to pray and your ability to do this? We ain't got no ability, did we?
Amen.
The success we have is what God deposited into us.
Lord.
And we said, yes, Lord, I obey your word. You told me to get down and pray and I'm going to do it. Lord, would you come meet with me here?
Amen.
He does. And if he didn't, look, it's not God's fault. God is not withdrawing his presence from you. Your faith is off somewhere.
Amen.
Or you need to stay until you did it.
Amen.
Remember, it's the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. We are never required to access faith by some sort of merit.
Right.
Never. Look, that's not how it works. You must believe, confess, and receive it.
Amen.
Purely by the grace of God.
Right.
God, you promised this healing to me. When I came up this last Sunday, and I'll tell you what, I thought I was going to throw up earlier. I had a headache and just couldn't take it. But he said, look, I'm going to go to church. What about like most, oh, got a headache on a Sunday. Oh, it's God's sign, I'm not supposed to go today. Oh, we don't expect the preacher to do that, but anybody else? Oh, it's a different story all of a sudden. That sounds like God's got a double standard, doesn't it?
Sure.
No, I don't let the devil push me around on any day.
Amen.
And God don't give us sickness now. He might let sickness happen because we need a little spanking here and there.
Yeah.
But it's the devil anyhow.
Amen.
Even Job, remember, God allowed Satan to do that, but it was still Satan doing it.
Right.
God was faithful and he healed me.
Amen.
Sure. Is there a trial of faith? Absolutely. That's the whole point. How do you know you have it unless there's a trial?
Yeah.
Then it just looks like magic, doesn't it? Oh, we just boom, just boop, here it is. Faith doesn't work like that. Faith isn't a clown around kind of thing.
Right.
Faith is serious. It has a motive, it has objective, and it all leads back to the glory of God.
Amen.
Let me finish that quote. Just be normal and say, God, you promised it, and I'm your child. Now watch, so you can see what I mean. 90% of the people, sister, 99 9/10 that come saying, oh, I got faith, they have hope. Instead of faith. Faith is positive. Let me read another one on the same lines here. What visions are, 56. That's what happens here on the platform when I have healing services. Hundreds of people that way. They come to the platform. Oh, Brother Branham, I got all faith. If it was ink, it wouldn't dot an I. Man, Brother Branham, that's kind of mean. No, it's the truth anyhow. As we said about the man, he said, Lord, help me of my unbelief.
Right.
And God honored him for his honesty.
Right.
And faith will be honest. Faith will be truthful. Faith will just call it like it is.
Amen.
And if you ain't got faith, you might as well just say it and say, Lord, give me faith.
Amen.
Something wrong somewhere because I see the promise of God sitting there and I'm still stuck in my condition. What's wrong with my faith?
Amen.
And as a father, he'll tell you.
Yeah.
And he'll go trail it out. And usually it's, look, you were doing this and this and this and your faith went by the wayside.
Yeah. Sure.
Moses had that happen, didn't he? When he killed that Egyptian, his faith went down the tubes in no time. He was out there, didn't even think about the promise of God no more.
Yeah.
And Brother Ramsey said that. He got away from his faith. He never lost it. He just got away from it, so he couldn't access it no more.
Amen.
But one five-minute session with the pillar of fire standing there, his faith was activated to where a man, 80 years old, older than anybody in here, one stick, said, you know what? I'm going to walk up to the Oval Office. And I'm going to tell them, you let the Christians go.
All right.
Put it in perspective. That's exactly what he was doing. Said, you tell them, they're not going to pay taxes no more. Ooh, my. We think, well, they'll kill us all. What do you think he was thinking?
Right.
In his flesh, anyhow. But there was something deeper than that. That's the substance we're trying to pull from tonight. Get the reasoning out of your head. Get the intellect. We don't need that. We need faith.
Amen.
You don't need a lot of faith. You just need faith.
Amen.
If you just have a mustard seed, it'll wipe out the devil every time.
Amen.
It's not about getting more faith. It's about getting faith.
Amen.
Me and Brother Brandon, we talked about Sunday, and I'm going to hit that up a few times about being sincere with God. He said if you can just get that kernel of sincerity.
Yeah.
And he meant it in the same context Jesus said, just a kernel, just enough to say, I'm really going to mean it this time. And once you've done that, when you get to business with God, does he get to business with you? Absolutely.
Sure.
It's all this halfway praying. It's all this halfway seeking. It's all this halfway faith that ain't faith at all. It's just a bunch of doubt mixed over with some word of God.
Uh-huh.
Or some message and quote that you came up with and it doesn't produce squat. It must be 100%. This is what God told me, and it will happen.
Amen.
Neither one of those promises that's just, oh, it's a way out there, and you know, it will. No, it's going to happen. I possess
sure.
it. I can see it now.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
If it was ink, it wouldn't dot an I. See, you got hope instead of faith. Faith is positive. There's nothing can move it. It's positive. No matter how sick you got, how everything went, nothing. Now, if you're trying to bluff it, it won't take bluffing. The devil, he's a bluff himself, and he knows how to run a bluff.
Yeah.
You're talking to the king of bluffing, and you're going to try to bluff him? He knows how to read bluffs. But when you got the goods, oh, I love that expression. And look, every born again, Holy Ghost filled Christian is packing the goods of God.
Amen.
Because you're not receiving some other spirit. You receive the same spirit that baptized Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That gave him his success.
Amen.
With God. It is now indwelling you.
That's right.
You pack the goods. So when you take it in faith now, you've got to believe.
Amen.
You've got to believe it with everything you say when you take a promise of God, or you're wasting time. When we bring prayer requests, are we believing that that's going to change things?
Amen.
Or are we just saying it, hoping maybe something will happen?
Right.
I believe it. If we confess it and we bring it before God, God hears us.
Amen.
Right.
I am fully convinced of that.
Yeah.
I'm fully convinced that the success of this message, as far as those that have tried to attain to it, 99.9% of it is this problem right here. Faith has not been taught the way that the Bible says it is. The way the prophet said faith. What was the very first sermon Brother Bram preached? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Amen. I'm going to keep reading that. Visions are 56. He's a bluff himself and he knows how to run a bluff. But when you got the goods, it don't take loud hollering. Don't take stomping and screaming. It takes faith. He will recognize it. Don't worry. Just say the word. Look at the disciples down there when they all got over this child and probably was trying to shake it and everything else. But Jesus said, come out of him.
Amen.
That settled it.
Right.
The devil recognized that was faith. See, not quantity, it's quality. Devils don't move at a lot of hoop and hollering.
Nope.
Devils don't move just because you feel the presence of God around you.
Right.
Devils move because you believe.
Amen.
That's right.
And you really have to get to that place. And faith is something that you have to experience it to learn anything about it. You have to grow in it and you begin to realize that, look, when a promise of God comes to me, I ignore everything. Everything else, anything contrary to that. No, sir, devil, you're a liar. I'm going to have what I said I'm going to have.
Amen.
Because I didn't move that on my heart. God did.
Yeah.
God did that for my wife. I hope you all remember that when she was in the hospital there. And some of me says, this body is not having this baby yet. That wasn't me making something up. Something came on the inside and says, don't accept it.
That is right.
Now, I could have doubted that if I wasn't the Son of God, born again with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I believe there's something on the inside that energizes the Word so the Word doesn't stick on a page.
Amen.
It comes off and says, whatever you say, it will be.
That's right.
Isn't that what the third pole was all about when it came to Brother Branham?
Amen.
Whatever you say.
Yeah.
Because you and Christ are one.
Amen.
Yeah.
And when the Word moves through you, it's just like it's moving through Christ because it's the same life, it's the same faith, it's the same God.
Amen.
And if God said something, who's to dare to say it won't happen?
Right.
I believe it. Do you believe that that's your possession?
Yes, amen.
As a son or daughter of God, what you say must come to pass.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Because when you get into that channel of faith, what comes out of you always agrees with the Word.
Always.
It always brings glory and honor to Jesus Christ.
Always. Amen.
And always is there to prove to the world that the resurrection is truth.
Amen.
Why do these signs fall in that belief? So that people know Jesus Christ did raise from the dead.
Amen.
We don't need to argue. We don't need to go back in theology and do all this stuff. And all. No, look. Let me bring, as Brother Bram said, let's bring 30 people here that are sick. Remember he said that Muhammad or Buddha or something, one of those, came and challenged the man, says, I'll bring 30 people here that are sick, and I'll, you know, let's have you pray for them, because Muhammad didn't promise us anything.
Right.
But your Jesus said you'd have the same signs. And what did Brother Bram say? Look, he didn't ask for the challenge. The challenge came.
Right.
It's a different story. It's one thing to go running after the devil, trying to beat up the devil here. It's one thing when he's trying to take your land.
Amen.
And he said, I wish I could have been there. Because God would have answered.
Amen.
God would have shown who is the true and living God. And we can go through the Bible examples, can't we? When Goliath was out there making his boast, and everybody was too busy reasoning about it, and yeah, that man probably could have benched 1,000 pounds and pounded any of us in the face.
Right.
No little pulp. David didn't look at that. David went back to his experience with faith.
Amen.
that when he was given the commission, this look at this. If you're faithful in little, God will make you faithful in much. Right. He was given the commission, watch after your father's sheep.
That's right.
Little slave boy job, right? So insignificant, the prophet Samuel almost missed him.
Right.
When he was going to anoint him to be king. And he had taken that so much upon himself. He put all his heart into it.
Right.
He gave it all his sincerity that when one sheep was caught, he went after a bear and after a lion.
Right.
No fear involved at all. God commissioned me to watch over these sheep, and I am bringing that sheep back.
Amen.
And he did it. That's the crazy thing, right? Faith, he actually did it. He didn't just say, well, if God's will was, I would have been able to. No, no, no. God's will was, I'm commissioned to watch these sheep. His will is that they all live.
Amen. That's right.
So when he had that faith, and he went into this battle now, he come. Remember, the only reason he even got there was because his brothers needed some food. He was giving them some word, wasn't he? And they didn't enjoy it all too either. You bunch of holy roller, little punk preacher. I bet that's what they thought of him. You better believe it. He said, you're just out here with the pride of your heart. You just want to see the battle. You're just interested in war and all these things. He's like, I know, I grew up with you. What did David say? Is there not a cause? Wait a minute. We're the elect of God standing out here. We were calling from a man that didn't even ask. God came and ordained that this nation would be here now. And we're letting this little group of Who are these uncircumcised Philistines?
Right.
And they're going to trump over the elect of God. Is there not a cause?
Right.
As we read there, remember, he said, I'll do it. I'll do it. And he didn't worry about who he hadn't talked to, did he? I'll go talk right to King Saul. Let's go find him. Come on, let's go. And he went right to King Saul. And King Saul said, whoa, buddy, whoa. Oh, I appreciate you. You know, but you're a little reckless with your faith. You need to calm it down. And haven't we had that in the old message church? Oh, getting a little too Pentecostal there. Calm it down. Calm it down. I mean, I know God heals, but he can't do miracles, you know. And oh, did I let that slip? I meant he works differently than, oh, no, I can't say. It's a bunch of nonsense. The promise of God is 100% truth or it's 100% false. There's no middle ground for this. And as Saul was like, well, boy, oh, calm me down a little bit. Here. Let's use a little reasoning here. I'm going to give you some armor. That's four times too big for you, right? Because we know that Saul was like 7 foot tall or something. He's taller than me. He's head and shoulders above everyone. And it says specifically that David was a little ruddy kid. Had a nice, fair countenance. He had a little boy face, probably. Probably didn't even have hair at this time just yet, getting a beard. And as he saw that, he said, you know what? I can't do this. And we know he had to reason with it for at least a little bit because he put it on.
Right.
And he looked at it And that's okay to happen to you. You know, if somebody gives you some kind of theology, go ahead, reason it out a little bit with the promise of God. And you won't take it too long to realize, I don't need this.
Right. Amen.
I don't need this. This just took my faith and made it completely ineffective. I'm getting rid of it.
Right.
And if your theology does that, go ahead and chump it in the trash because that's where it belongs.
Amen.
David had no problems doing that. He said, you know what? It's fine, Saul. I respect you. He did. We know he respected Saul way more than Saul ever deserved.
Right.
Because he honored his office.
Right.
But even after that, he said, but I'll just do it myself. And he said, well, all right, go ahead. Saul didn't have the faith. We know that. David did.
Amen.
As I read there, I got a testimony from Brother Josh about that scripture. When David saw Goliath coming, he didn't kind of sneak around. He ran right at him.
Amen.
Because he knew, this day, I will take your head off.
Yeah.
Remember, he made his boast. Faith produced the product.
Yes.
Philistine looked like he had faith, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to cut you. I'm going to feed you to the birds today. He said, I don't come to you with the sword and the spear. I come in the name of the Lord God of Israel.
Yes.
I came from the God that split the Red Sea. I came from the God that is a miracle we even exist today.
Amen.
Because my great, 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 great grandfather was 100 years old when we came to be.
Right.
And if God could do that, how much easier can he give you into my hands?
Uh-huh.
And he didn't just leave it on those promises of God, did he? He had one himself.
Yes.
That lion and that bear. And I believe that whole time he's going up there and going, this is going to be easy. Compared to the last time, you know, I'd rather fight any man than to fight a bear.
Yeah.
Is that all right? At least in my own reasoning, I'd rather fight any man than a lion.
Right.
I'll pass. And so after he had already, and God ordained it that way, he'd already taken care of that, he went right at Goliath. with a little bit of stones. I said, here we go. Let it go. Remember, there was only one spot I could have hit.
Right.
The best shot I probably would have missed. But when it's God throwing the rock,
right.
When it's God taking the word and putting it where it needs to go,
yes.
It hit right on.
Yes.
And it did it in such a way, remember, the giant didn't fall backwards. He fell forward in obedience and bowed himself. I love David too. I just love reading about David. It's probably there's more written about David, I think, in the Bible than anybody else. And I just love it because I hate it, but I love it because I get to 1 Samuel and before I know it, I'm done with 2 Chronicles.
Yeah.
Like, man, I wanted to enjoy that more. And I'm already done. You know, I'm like, I'll go back and read it again or something. But David didn't even leave it like that. He wasn't even satisfied just yet, was he?
Nope.
He said, here we go. I'm going to take that devil's sword. And so I don't have anything. That's fine. I'll choose what the devil gave me. I'll take that. Cut his head off. And he didn't leave it alone, did he? He took that head. Showed all Israel.
Yeah.
He's defeated.
Amen.
And the whole little peace agreement went out the window in a hurry, didn't it? Israel said, let's go get him, boys. And anytime you try to deal a deal with the devil, it'll fall apart the second you take the promise of God because you realize the devil's a chump and you don't need to make a deal with him.
Amen.
I'm going to find that quote real quick here. It's come out of Shame 65. Brother Branham says this. It puts me in mind of something like ourselves. Then I said to the people, I'm getting to a spot I need more faith. That's what I'm home now for, to get a new burst of faith. Got so look like when you pray for people, you apologize. Mr. Devil, would you please move over and let me? Nothing. Faith has got muscles.
Amen.
And hair on its chest. When it speaks, everything else shuts up. Don't go in, Mr. Devil. You move out, please. Get out of here. I'm a son of God, commissioned of God. Leave them alone.
Amen.
That moves.
Amen.
You have no apology to the devil, nothing to do with him, not ashamed of the word of God, not ashamed of your commission, not ashamed of who we are. Now let him bring this. Here's what he says here. The only shame that I had, the only shame that I am is I'm a Branham. That's my earthly birth. I'm ashamed of my failures. But as his servant, I'm not ashamed.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of his word, whether it's denominations, kings, potentates, or whatever it might be, just ready to give an answer. God calls for it. What does that mean to you and I? People look at you like you're boastful because you take a promise of God and you hold on to it. I'm not trusting in myself. I'm completely ashamed of who I am. I'm completely ashamed of what I do day in, day out. Even when we talked about earlier when I said about getting away from your faith, I've experienced that not 10 years ago. I experienced it this morning. Feeling like I was getting away from my faith. I said, there's something wrong somewhere. It's time to come back. And it was re-energized again. Because Jesus Christ is always with us.
Amen.
He's always right there, isn't he?
Right.
I am ashamed of the things that I do. I'm ashamed of the things I've let the devil get on me. And I'm a sinner saved by grace, same as anybody else. I ain't fit to live, and I ain't trying to be humble about it. If God would have judged me by my worth, I would be in hell right now. But I'm not ashamed of the grace of God. I'm not ashamed of the blood of Christ that came into my life and changed me from the old wretch that I was into a son of God. And he didn't just make me a son just to be one. He made me a son to conquer the devil.
Amen.
With a commission from God. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to each creature.
Amen.
And as Satan's walls come up, remember the gates come up, the Bible already said, he has given us the gates of the enemy.
Amen.
Your seed, and you are Abraham's seed by Christ. We are Abraham's seed in Christ.
Amen.
We have been given the gates of the enemy.
Yes.
And David possessed that, didn't he? Took Goliath down. When we go through all the stories, then we'll get to that in Hebrews 11 here. I'm trying to avoid those for until we'll give them their own sermon. Is that all right? Remember Daniel had to pray that one time? He was a little tempted to compromise on his convictions.
Sure.
You don't think maybe he could have just prayed in secret and it had been all right? Not to Daniel. Daniel was convinced, God told me to do this. That's what my faith declares. And remember, the Bible specifically said when they wrote a decree saying, if you're praying to any other god, you die. The Bible says he knew it.
Amen.
It specifically writes down, he knew it was signed.
Amen.
Why? For you and I. Don't be afraid.
Right.
Don't ever be afraid. If your faith is telling you to do it anyhow. And Daniel said, I'm going to get down and pray because God told me to.
Right.
And he did. And he said he opened the windows and he spread out his hands just like this.
Uh-huh.
And prayed to God. And my, most of the messy people won't bow their head for a meal in front of public, will they?
Right.
Try to sneak it in between a few words, huh?
Yeah.
Amen. I've done it too, don't worry. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Look, they already know you're crazy and a Christian anyways. You might as well just go ahead and do it and go ahead and just be one.
Right.
And I think that's what Daniel got to. He said, you know what? I'm all alone anyways. I've been doing this for so many years anyhow. I might as well just stick with it because it's worked every other time.
Amen.
Remember, they took him. Sure enough, it looked like it wasn't going to work, did it? They got him. He said, sorry, bud, you're going to have to. The king didn't want him to, but the king was tied to his own word. He said, you got to go in the lion's den. And God didn't even deliver him from going there.
Right.
He waited until he was actually in there.
Yeah.
Just to see, is Daniel really going to hold on to this? You and I, don't be surprised what you go through. Hold on to the promise of God. Hold on to what your faith told you before you even started that trial.
Amen.
It'll come out. It'll come out because you didn't say that to you, did you?
No.
Somebody else came and told you, accept my word. You watch somebody that's dealt with sickness for a long time, but they have a faith about it. That's a whole different story. Then when these other signs start coming in, there's something pushing that out all the time. Right. They try to give them, nope, I don't have these symptoms. I don't care. I don't feel that pain. Devil, you're a liar. Because there's something within me tells me I'm already well.
Amen.
And I believe Daniel just knew it. There's something in him that says, I'm already delivered. Don't know how. I'm about to get thrown in there. I can feel it coming. I'm going to hit the ground. And there's going to be lions down there. But I don't care. I am delivered.
Amen.
And sure enough, when he got there, he wasn't alone, was he?
Nope.
The angel of the Lord showed up. Remember, his brother Branham said, fire scares lions away, doesn't it? The pillar of fire stood right there. Keep all the lions away from it. Three Hebrew boys had the same thing, didn't they? Same trial, just to show that the same faith could work in everybody, in any believer. I think that's why God allowed that. So we didn't think Daniel was just some superman. He was the only one that could do it. Here's some three Hebrew boys. Another thing I thought was done on purpose. They weren't old, mature, scholarly believers. They were Hebrew boys. They said, you know what? Bible told us not to lay down to any idols.
Uh-huh.
That's even Daniel. You know, we respect him a lot, but I'm sorry, I'm not worshiping him.
Right.
People do that with Brother Branham, won't they?
Yeah.
Yes, I respect him a lot, but I'm not building an idol and worshiping
Correct.
Him.
Correct.
He never told me to do that either, and I'm sure Daniel didn't tell him to do that also in his day. And they didn't get delivered from going to the fiery furnace, but the second they got close, because remember, that was blazing hot. Seven times hotter than it had ever been before, to where the guys that went to throw him in got burned up.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the heat coming off a place like that? Even watch their confession. You ever hear that? A lot of people make it sound like they didn't think they were going to get delivered. You ever heard them take that and kind of twist it a little bit? They said, look, our God is able to deliver us. Yeah. And they said, and he will. But even if he doesn't, we're not bowing to your idol.
Right.
See how that changes the perspective a little bit? They never said he's not going to deliver us. They're saying we are so convinced of our God that even if he lets us burn in a fire, we are not contradicting his word.
Right. Amen.
We'll be better in the long run. And that's Laodicea right there for you. 2013, the bride needs to be so convinced that even if they were going to burn us all alive, we know we have the truth and we're not bowing down to this idol.
Yes, right.
This ecumenical move, we're not surprised by it. We're not surprised the government's coming together and trying to take over the world, the Catholic Church. We know all these things.
Right.
We know where it started. We know where it's ended. You know, I'm not bowing to it.
Amen.
Not getting anywhere, but that's all right. Remember Gideon too? And that's a man that was chicken at first, wasn't he?
Right.
And that's all right as long as you stick with the promise of God. He didn't leave God. He said, look, God, you're going to have to do something. You got to help me.
Yep.
I need something. How about this, God? I'm going to set out this fleece and let there be dew on that and nothing on the ground.
Uh-huh.
God honored him, didn't he?
Right.
It happened. And most of us, we think, well, that should be enough. But he said, you know what? Gideon was still a little shaking his boots. He's like, you know what? I'm not ready. Well, at least he was honest about it.
Right.
Don't take on the devil until you know you've got faith.
Right.
You're going to lose. And Gideon knew that. He said, whoa. I see those sea of guys out there. I'm not ready yet. He said, Lord, let it happen the other way this time. And sure enough, it did, didn't it?
Right.
It was dew all over the ground and not on the fleece. And then on top of that, the Lord said, well, you know, I can tell you're not quite encouraged yet. He said you should be okay. You know, you should be all right. But if you're not, go down to this little place right here and listen to what they got to say.
Uh-huh.
And they said something about, I believe it was a dream. Or
right.
They came tumbling down and destroyed this big thing. And he said, is this not the sword of Gideon? And finally Gideon said, you know what? I believe. Let's go get him. And look at how strong his faith got all of a sudden, because they took, I think it was like 30,000 men to go take over to see him. And so it was still looking like a miracle anyways.
Right.
But God said, not good enough for me yet. Mm-hmm. Not good enough for me. You know, that still a little too proportional.
Uh-huh.
So he said, you know what, let's go. Anybody that's afraid, go home. So they did that and they cut it down real far. Still looked like a pretty good miracle. And God said, nope, not yet yet. Nope, not quite. Let's go down to the lake here. And those that, I can't remember which way it is, lap like a dog, or one licks this way, one cups it up. And he said, there's only 300 of them left. I said, all right, we'll go this way. And this wasn't just some little group of people now. It said there was a sea of them.
Yeah.
You could see them everywhere. Midianites, all over the place. But he had got his faith in such a position that he knew, God commissioned me. God showed it to that brother down there in his dream. And it's going to happen.
Amen.
And he did it in the most ridiculous way in the world, didn't he? They took some pots and broke them and made a bunch of clamor. But hey, it worked.
Amen.
And sometimes I think we just need to praise the Lord a little bit, and maybe we'll get some results around
it.
Right.
And now what the hell they were having, let's just have a worship session
That's
out here
right.
and let the presence of God came. And look at all the troubles. They killed themselves.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And if we'll just come in and ignore life's troubles and just give God praise anyhow when we walk into his house, I believe all our troubles just fly away and take care of themselves. That's what faith will do. But if you're going to reason with it, you'll miss church to take care of your problem.
Uh-huh.
Every time, man, somebody want to give an offer and I'll give me a bigger pulpit. That comes up when I can press a button and it'll just hide me. And I can wait until I think it's passed and I'll put it back down.
Come on.
Let me get one more example and then we'll get rolling here. God just amazes me, man. I don't understand it. I don't have any material, and I've already been almost 45 minutes. I think of Samson, and a lot of people go through Samson's negative. But there's one thing, he does come up in the book of Hebrews 11. He shows up, he says, and I can tell the faith of, and he lists off some people, and Samson's one of them. And that always baffled me, because most of the time when you talk about Samson, it's not good. It's about how he was wishy-washy. It was about how he's a compromiser and he gave God his strength but not his heart and all these things. But what was the one thing that Hebrews wanted to mention? His faith. Here's a man. Remember, he's not a big man like the movies want to show you. He's not rippling with muscles. He wasn't 10 feet tall. He was about the size of David probably. And for some reason, he could pick up bars of a gate and carry them all the way up a mountain and then set them down. It showed it was God doing that. And Samson, every time he needed the commission of God, he still had it. Remember, he had his hair, he let it grow. And every time he would just respect his commission, God answered.
Right.
He was there. Even when he was backslid, even when he was doing wrong things and tempting with the devil, sitting there talking to Delilah, trying to tease her here and there, he still honored it because he was under the commission of the Lord.
Amen.
And every time God delivered, destroyed Philistines left and right, left and right, left and right. But eventually his sins caught up to him. And he lost his covenant. They plucked out his eyes. And he had to have been there for years because the Bible says his hair was growing back. So as that, and God knows how to do it, doesn't he? He knows once you get away, he knows how to get you back. And he got Samson back to the place of his faith where it really should have been in the first place. But he never lost. If I obey the word, it'll happen. And he got there, remember? And they said, let's bring him out. Let's have sport. He's been in there for a few years. Kind of, people probably forgot about Samson no more. You know, it's been so long. Let's bring him out and get everybody refreshed on how we defeated Jehovah.
Right.
That's really what it was. You think so?
Yeah.
They got the effects of it kind of waned off. So like, we got to get this stirred back up again. That's how the devil will do it every time. Just when he thinks he doesn't got enough praise, he's going to stir something up, try to get some more praise.
Sure.
And he comes. Samson. They tie him up, they make him do games and whatever, and he's laying inside the arena, and they said there's people even on top of it all around. And what did he pray? So just once more. He said, Brother Branson shook his head and could feel that covenant on him. And I bet he began to feel the presence of the Lord again. He said, Lord, just once more. Look how much faith this man has. Look at how much faith he has. He knows he blew it. He knew he took the promise of God and just ruined it.
Right.
But look at his faith. That once more, God will hear me if I just obey this covenant.
Amen.
I've done it. I haven't drank wine. I haven't done my hair. I haven't cut it. God will honor me. And his faith caused him to receive the power of God one more time. To the point where the Bible says he destroyed more at his death than he did throughout his entire life.
Amen.
Because of his faith. Now let's bring it down to us. Is that all right? I'll try to wrap up here soon. You all been real good. How many know Craig Brewer down in Lima? He's a pastor down there. I was in his office one time, and he has something that says something very, I don't know if it's exactly right, but it has the same concept. It says this: Jesus started his church the way he wanted it. Now he wants his church the way he started it.
Amen.
When we go back, how did Jesus start this thing out? He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we know that the first step to any real Christian experience is repent of your sins. Because you can't do anything for God until you get the sin question settled out of your life.
Amen.
And he brought it himself. He became the offering himself. He became the high priest himself. He didn't put any of that into our hands. All he wants you and I to do is accept it and just repent.
Amen.
And accept what he's done, and he would take care of that. And then he walked as the Son of God should have. Isn't that right? He demonstrated what the faith was supposed to look like.
Amen.
Then on the day of Pentecost, he didn't leave it alone. He didn't say that I was going to be the only one to do it. He says, I will endue you with power from on high.
Amen.
I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and so on and so forth. We know these things. And he poured out the spirit upon them, and they began to walk in such a fashion that the world could look at them and says,
that's
they've
right.
been Jesus.
Yeah.
Antioch said, those are, we're going to call it the new word, they're Christians.
Right.
Know what you love? When the devil knows who you are.
Amen.
We should take that more encouraging, I think, sometimes when we know that the devil knows our names. The devil knows when we're praying because he gets mad.
Right.
He tries to stir up this and that. This just proves to you who you are. You are the elect of God to this day. And what was Malachi 4 sent for? That's what the apostolic faith was given out. The faith. Not another faith, not a second faith. The faith was given on the day of Pentecost. This is what the faith is to look like. These are what Christians are supposed to be. And we know throughout the Dark Ages, we know through the Reformation, that that was lost. It wasn't fully restored all the way until Malachi 4 came to manifest. And that's what its whole purpose was to take the church and bring them back to the faith.
Amen.
And this was a problem all the way back in Jude's day, because I see it needful for me to write to you to contend for the faith.
Amen.
You're letting it go. You're letting it slide over here. You're letting these people run in sin and amok like this, and letting these people stay sick and not do anything about it. And you're leaving the power of God for form and ritual. He says, we need to contend for the faith. Preach it the way Jesus did.
Amen.
Go back to the Great Commission. These signs shall follow them that believe. Not hope so, not maybe they will, not sometimes, all the time. These signs shall follow them that believe. And if that doesn't excite you, it's probably because it's following somebody else and not you.
Amen. Come on.
He didn't say that to make it universal, that oh, just the church would all. Each believer, these signs will follow your life.
Amen.
Yield yourself to them. Stay in the faith.
Amen.
And anything contrary, don't let the devil tell you you can't speak in tongues. You can. Don't let the devil tell you you can't pray for the sick. You can.
Amen.
What's in you is all that God was.
Amen.
Because all that God was in Christ, and all Christ was poured into us. And there is the same potential within each Holy Ghost-filled believer as there was in God Himself.
Amen.
And the end time, let me read this now. The end time evangelism. The end time evangelist message is from Malachi 4. It's a restoring. The message and messenger both will have to be a restoration of the faith. Jude said in the book of Jude, just about 30 years after the crucifixion, he said, brethren, I give all diligence to write unto you of the common faith, that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints back there. See, Malachi said, for the last days, the last prophet of the Old Testament said, before that great and terrible day of the Lord shall come, I will send to you Elijah the prophet, and he will restore the faith of the children back to, or the faith of the children back to the fathers just before the destruction time. What is it? It's a message that goes forth. A message and messenger of the last days. It's not to bring them to a creed. Did you hear me? It's not to bring us to a creed. It's not to bring us to new dogmas. It's not to bring us to a set of conduct. Not to bring them to a creed, but to jerk them out of those creeds and bring them back to the original faith of the fathers.
Amen.
The Pentecostal fathers, where the church is to be in the last days. Not the Mosaic fathers, not Moses' time, but the Pentecostal fathers.
Amen.
Those that through faith and patience inherited all the blessings.
That's right.
I'm going to read one example here. We're going to read this together. And I'm going to try to end on this. Acts 3. We are to be restored back to the apostolic faith. So I think it's good to go back and read what the apostolic faith looked like. Does that seem reasonable to everyone here?
Amen.
Let's not make up what the apostolic faith is. Let's not change what apostolic faith is. Let's just go to the book of Acts and find out what it was. Acts chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 1. Are you enjoying the word tonight?
Amen.
Your faith encouraged. Amen. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Can I stop there for a minute? They weren't even prayed up yet. They were going to go pray. Now they weren't backslid. They were going to go pray. But before they even started praying, something happens to show you how faith is supposed to work. Faith is supposed to be accessible at all times.
Amen.
Whether you feel good, whether you don't worry about it. Believe the word of God.
Amen.
And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John was about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And you can do that in the wrong way, you can do that in the right way. If he'd have said, "Look on us because we were the apostles of the Lord and you need to reverence our presence," that would have been one thing. But if he actually cared about this man, he said, "Look, you need to look on us. You lack something right now, but we have it. And we'll give it to you. Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. See how faith works on both ends? He looked not to say, "Well, he probably doesn't really mean it." He said, "I expect something from these men. I'm convinced of what they got to say." And they say, "Look on," I'm going to look. And I'm just going to glance. I'm going to look right at Peter and say, "What do you have for me?" Brother Branham said, that, before I read this next verse, he said, I know that Peter and John were Pentecostal preachers because of this next verse. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." They didn't have a dime to their name, did they? "Silver and gold had I none, but such as I have, give I thee." Yeah. Peter wasn't ashamed of this, was he? Peter wasn't looking at his denial of Christ a few years ago, maybe a few days ago, whatever it was. He wasn't looking at how he had Jesus had looked him right in the eyes and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," when he tried to keep Jesus from the cross. He had forgotten all that because he had received the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
"And such as I have, I'll give to thee."
Amen.
"But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Sounds pretty positive, doesn't it? Sounds pretty faithful, doesn't it?
Amen.
That what he says, he ain't bluffing. He ain't worried about it, because if he was bluffing, he said, "Well, let us pray for you, and if it's the good Lord's will, you'll get up and walk." He didn't say that. He didn't even pray. He says, "Rise and walk."
Amen.
Somebody look at me like that cross-eyed stuff. That's how faith operates, church. It ain't time to doubt the promise of God. He is the same God.
Amen.
And if God had already moved on him to look even at this man, I'm pretty sure that's how it happened. He was just walking in the Spirit of God. And that's how Peter knew. "Hey, they're bringing this man up. I see a knee." And something moved on him. He says, "Go over there."
Amen.
And he did. He said, "Look on us." He says, "Rise and walk." And look how convinced Peter is of this. Go to verse 7. It's right there. And he took him by the right hand. Oh, I love this. And lifted him up. Look, he's about to look like a real fool if it doesn't work, doesn't he? This guy's lame. He's going to grab his arm and pick him up and watch him fall down again. If he didn't know where he was standing, that's exactly what would happen, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It's not what happened to Peter. They lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Oh, can you just picture this happening? I don't know, it just thrills me because I can see it. I can literally see him standing there going. And yeah, what do you think is going to happen? We can keep reading, but he began to leap and to praise God because he had been lame, but now he can walk. And how did it happen? Because of some super ritual that they did, or some long prayer, some wonderful service. It was none of that. It was faith by a son of God.
Yeah.
The son of God saw and he said, "Such as I have, I will give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Stand up."
Amen.
And willing to be so convinced that if they ain't going to do it, I'll do it. And he grabbed him by his and he yanked him up.
Right.
Knowing that God would meet him on the other end. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at which had been done unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And too many times in the message, for instance, God will really do a miracle. But what happens? The second after it happens, the man begins to think it's because he's done something and begins to get a pride. And the second you have pride, you lost all the power of God.
Amen.
And what happened when this lame man walked? Because remember, they all recognized him. They've been bringing him to the temple all the time. Right. They recognized this man's walking. Uh-huh. He's not supposed to be able to walk, but he's walking. Right. And it brought a big crowd around. So we need to figure out about this. But look what happened when Peter saw this, a man filled with the Holy Ghost, verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? But why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk?" Is that okay to teach his doctrine that it's not your power or your holiness why God answers our prayers? It's simply our faith in him that he already gave to us as a gift of God anyways, and he already anoints with his spirit, and all we do is say what he already said. Yeah, it makes us pretty little, makes God pretty big. That's how faith works.
Amen.
Now, you want something else, you want the glory, you might as well just stop being a Christian. That ain't the way it works. A Christian gives, and he gives, and he gives, and he continues to give and expects nothing in return.
Amen.
And that's really where the rubber meets the road for a real Christian, isn't it? If they're willing to not worry about it. They're not willing to try to not to make things even all the time, right? Well, I'm going to give this guy $10, but I'm going to remember it next time he asks me. You laugh, but you know it's the truth nonetheless. That happens all the time. People get real religious real fast. And if they were Christians, don't worry about them being Christians. How about you just be one?
Right.
Is that all right? How about you just be the Christian and let God convict them? And don't go around bashing them behind. Get down on your knees and pray for them.
Yeah. Amen.
God will answer. He sure will. Verse 13, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But he denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name..." I love this. It's not just saying his name. "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Oh, I love that. He just put it right where it was. Look, I'm not going to... It had nothing to do with my code of ethics. Had nothing to do with how we run service. Had nothing to do with what we adhere to. We believe.
Amen.
And because I put my entire faith in Jesus Christ, that's why that man stands today.
Amen.
And he wasn't afraid to preach on him either now, because he said, "Look, you guys crucified this guy. It's your fault he died. And you're guilty of his blood. But faith in his name will produce the healing if you want it." And he doesn't stop there. I love it. Because, look, don't get satisfied anywhere with anything God does. He can always do more. He's always getting to a purpose. Because what's healing even trying to lead to? The salvation of a soul.
Amen.
Because the healing of the soul is eternal.
Amen.
And that's where it's always leading to. And Peter could have stopped right here and said, "It's been a good day to be a Christian." And I would have agreed with him. It's been a good day to be a Christian. If we watch a lame man walk up on his feet. But he didn't stop there. He seized the opportunity. When the presence of God was there, it led him to keep going, to keep going. And what the faith really looks like here. Verse 17, "And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, and as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Do you see the apostolic faith? Does it just do miracles? Oh, it's part of it. If you don't have a life with any miracles in it, there's something wrong in your spirit somewhere. God answers prayer. He's a supernatural God. And the supernatural God, wherever he is, produces supernatural.
Amen.
But the goal of the Christian is not to just show off the power of God. It's to lead other people into it.
Amen.
And isn't that what Peter did? He said, "Look, don't look at me and my holiness. Put faith in Jesus Christ's name. And even though you've killed him, even though you're all guilty of his blood, if you'll just repent and accept it, you can be converted and you can have the same power of God and you can walk in the faith just as I am."
Yeah. That's right.
That's a real servant of Christ. And I'm just going to read a few more verses here, if that's all right. And he shall send Jesus. Let me read 19 down to 21. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. He's speaking of the second coming now. He's talking about the resurrection. Whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution. Does anybody know what restitution is? The restoration
right.
of all things.
Amen.
Doesn't that sound familiar somewhere? Didn't Jesus say that the restoration of all things would come when Elijah came?
Yeah.
That the heavens would receive. We just read what Peter just said. The heavens, Jesus Christ would have to stay up there until all things were restored. When people want to say that Elijah came, you know, it was John the Baptist or something. Well, what does this mean then? How can Jesus say over here that John the Baptist restored all things? Because that's how they want to say it. That it's not a prophet the end day, it was back then. How is he going to restore all things? But then Peter comes around and says, we need to restore all things before we can even have Jesus come back.
Right. Amen.
Does that mean John the Baptist is going to get resurrected? Come back? I guess we're Mormon now too, aren't we? I don't want to get too deep into that. I'm going to leave that alone. But the restoration of all, look, believe this message with all your heart. It is absolutely scripturally truth. Elijah the prophet had to come to restore our things or Jesus can't come back.
Right, amen.
And Peter says it right here. The heavens must receive his body. It must stay there until the restoration of all things is fulfilled. And let's read the rest of that. Which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And I just want to end with that because look, that was the word. That was the message from the beginning. It was the faith the whole time. It's never changed. It's always been that from Adam all the way to now. The message has been what the faith is. It's Jesus Christ made manifest in the sons and daughters of God, the life of God transferring into his children to prove that he is still alive. That God doesn't die. God doesn't go on vacations. He's the same God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. He doesn't change. And as we contend for this faith, you must contend for it.
Amen.
Don't put it on somebody else to get the miracles to make sure everybody believes the message around here. They should look at your life.
Amen.
And see that you contend for the faith, because when you see the need for the Word of God to manifest, you allow it.
Amen.
And you don't stop with, as we said, just an example right there, Acts 3. Go read it again sometimes and go through that. We don't do it to puff it up because we made a miracle happen. Because a real servant of God knows he didn't make the miracle happen. God let the miracle happen and used that vessel.
Amen.
When you look at the faith, that it's not just to see the miracles happen, but it's to lead others that they might be equipped the same as you. And the only way you can do that is if you're a Christian, because a man wants to lift himself up. He wants to be, it's all right you get saved and things, but you need to make sure you know that you're a little bit lower than I am. You know, follow me as I follow Christ. That's not what Paul meant. I'm pretty sure what Paul meant was follow me as I'm following Christ. Don't follow me if I'm not.
Right.
Don't follow me if I backslide. If my flesh does something, don't follow that, please. Don't follow that. Only follow me as I'm following Christ. Amen. Don't go no other way.
Amen.
And ancient Christian will say the same thing. And if you really want to baffle the world, tell them what faith is. Tell them it's not me making up a fiction story. It's not me hoping something's going to happen. What do you have need of? Put them to the test a few times and see if God don't answer.
Amen.
We've already said that. Don't go around picking fights. But if the opportunity presents itself, let God get the glory.
Amen.
He wants it. He doesn't want it just out of the preacher's life. He wants it out of every single one of his children.
Amen.
And even your children's children and children's children's children all the way down. Amen. I was so encouraged when I heard them two praying for somebody and it happened. Isn't that right? I love when my son prays for me because I know I'm getting well.
Amen.
Because I believe it, because they don't have a block yet of reasoning, do they? They don't know what reasoning is yet. Well, aren't you glad? We forgot that, remember? We already forgot who we were.
Amen.
We're remembering who we are.
Amen.
We are of the faith.
Yes.
We're the definition of the faith. Yes. We're where the faith came from.
Yes.
Jesus Christ lives right here in my heart.
Amen.
He took the vile creature I was. He took me from the doubt. He took me from the frustration. He took me from the confusion and put me into the faith. What I really was from the beginning of the world. Let's stand together.
Sadie gave a testimony to Tom today, the truck brother Andrew, about the deer he sent you, the picture. That's the deer that Sadie was praying for Papa to get. And then he shot it, and they couldn't find it. It was private property. They couldn't go on. Well, that person came to our house yesterday and told him it was his deer.
Oh, wow. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. That reminds me of that story. Remember the man that had the car stolen? Same thing. And they were taking the car and Brother Brennan said, let's just pray about it.
Yeah.
And the car got put back. They never even found out who it was. He just got so convicted, I guess. He just said, forget it and gave it back. And we think that sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
But look, just ask. Ask and you shall receive.
Amen.
Bow our heads together. I appreciate you sharing this. That was wonderful. Anyone have a need tonight you'd like to lift up to the Lord? Do you want to put the faith to the test in your life? I don't know what the needs are of every person in here, but I know there's a God that does. And I know He's just waiting for you to say it. And you can have it. Even if it's just a closer walk with Him, and I think we all desire that. Even if it's just to be more thankful for all the things that He does for us. That we wouldn't let the world taint us and give us this sense of entitlement and all these things that we don't know. We're saved by the grace of God. We're loved by the grace of God, and we're just so grateful for all that He did for us when we didn't deserve it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again for all your wonderful grace and mercy that you've shown to us over and over and over again. How we're so happy to hear that you continue to do things, Lord. And we know you've done enough, Lord, that we wouldn't need another miracle to believe you. You've done so much, Lord. But just because you love us, just because you care about us, Lord, every time we ask, you do it again. We're happy tonight, Lord. In this Thanksgiving service that we're having tonight, we just want to really give you thanksgiving. Say thank you, Lord, for providing for all of our needs. Thank you for providing that we all have houses, we have cars, we have food, Lord, and you provide us clothes and just take care of us overly abundantly. And even when we ask for a deer, Lord, you're able just to give it to us. Lord, we're so happy for these things. We're so grateful that you saved us, Lord. We're so grateful that you love us. Knowing that within us, in our flesh, in our mistakes, in our reasoning, Lord, we don't deserve your grace. But we're happy to know we've accepted it. And that you changed us, Lord, and that you molded us and making us, Lord, from that creature that we were that's dead and rotten in the grave. Lord, you made us into your image. Our only heart's desire is to look like you, Lord. And we pray as we're just thankful for you. Help us, Lord, in this season to be such a witness of the resurrection. May the faith that we contend for live in each person that's here, that is around their family members, is there around those that love them. May they be able to recognize a deeper love than just filial. May they see the agape love of God reaching out to their soul. May each person here that has the token place it on their family's lives and know that, Lord, you have to move on the scene because you promised it, that ours and our houses shall be saved. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you, Lord. As we feel your presence here, we just want to bask in it and thank you and just spend all eternity in it, Lord. We love you. Appreciate all you've done. Be with each person tonight, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen. 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 How many wants to live by faith? Is that all right? It's song. It's right on the first page, I think. Song 4 if you don't know it. But I like to sing Living by Faith tonight. Make it a real, real dedication in our hearts that we're just going to live by faith. We're not going to do doubts. We're not going to do confusions no more. We're just going to put our whole heart right into the faith and live by it. Amen. Let's sing that.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. I'm living by faith in Jesus above.
Yes, Lord.
Trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm saved, this shattering arm. I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, I'm stirring up rushes of life. I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks.
Oh, aren't you happy tonight? Give Him praise.
I'm living my faith in Jesus above.
Oh, just worship and praise Him tonight.
I'm trusting, confiding.
Yes, Lord.
Living by faith.
And I feel no alone. I know that He safely will carry me through. No matter what evil betide. Why should I then care though the tempest may blow? If Jesus,
oh, you believe it tonight, He walks right by you. Yes, Lord.
I'm living by faith in Jesus above.
Thank you, Father.
Trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe in His sheltering arms.
Thank you, Lord God.
I'm living by faith, and I feel
our Lord will return. Praise His name. Yes, Lord.
Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm saved, His sheltering arms.
Thank you, Lord God.
I'm living by faith.
Let's sing it one more time. Every hand raised is a testimony that you're going to live by faith.
I'm living by faith in Jesus above. Trusting, confiding in His great love.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
From all harm safe in His sheltering arms.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise and worship. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's not by might, not by power, by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed by my Spirit.
Say it again, with all your heart.
It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's not by might. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. Yes, this mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. By my Spirit, saith the Lord.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Praise His name. Glory to God.
I say this as a man, but I apologize. I really didn't mean to go that long. I hope you fed well tonight.
Amen.
By the Word of God, because that's nothing I thought tonight would be, but that's all right, because
yep.
I'm happy to be a Christian.
Amen.
I'm happy that I can show the faith, even when I preach something. You know what I thought I was supposed to say? I didn't say what I didn't say. I did say. So,
You see that the part about all them examples, all I did was write their names down. I didn't have nothing about any of them. Well, all right, Lord, I guess we'll just do that. Well, before we go tonight, I don't want to prolong too much. Let's just, can we sing Wherever I Go? F.
Wherever I go, I'll praise Him. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I lift up the name of Jesus. I lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus has lived. Wherever I go,
yes, Lord,
I'll praise Him. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me.
Oh, this surrounds us tonight. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, I lift up the name of Jesus. I lift up the name of Jesus. For the name. Jesus has a living.
Let's give him a clap offering tonight. Give him a clap. Pray. Thank you, Lord God. Praise His name. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Just worship Him now. Give Him praise. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. One more time with all your heart. Yes, Lord.
Wherever I go, I'll praise. Wherever I am, I'll praise. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I lift up the name of Jesus. I lift up the name of Jesus. For the name Jesus has lifted me.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise. Thank you, Lord God. As we're dismissed tonight, Dad, you have
Hosanna. Oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation.
God bless you, saints.
Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation.